From game one.
Bounce down to Giannis. Catches on Tice. Hook shot down with a foul.
To game 72.
It is in the bank. It is earning interest. This one is over.
And beyond.
And the magic number for clinching the top seed in the Eastern Conference.
The place to be for the big picture on the Bucks. This is Bucks Talk. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Trends, tendencies, and trajectories of your Milwaukee Bucks, as well as all around the NBA.
I think this team is going to be even better than the last couple of years, and those teams are pretty darn good.
Now, here's your hosts, Justin Garcia and Greg Matzek.
I never know what to make of afternoon games on a weekend. There's usually a sluggishness, and teams may not come out firing on all cylinders. Now, forget about that. This had the feeling of a playoff game at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks have won five straight games following their 105-100 victory over the Los Angeles Clippers. Welcome into Bucks Talk for those of you listening all over the state here, especially those on 100.5 ESPN in Madison and 94.5 ESPN in Milwaukee, and of course 620 WTMJ, the Bucks flagship. I'm Greg Matzek along with Justin Garcia, who was at today's game. We'll take you until 6:30 tonight, and we'll take your calls as well, 855-616-1620. Now, typically, Justin and I, we dance around a little bit and have some fun on this program. I do want to hammer today's game a little bit more, perhaps, than usual. Just because it was so darn entertaining, Justin, and I don't know if 1,800 people feels like the playoff atmosphere to you, but it just from the TV broadcast, there was kind of a pace and a pulse, even though the scoring output I don't think mirrored what I was watching in terms of energy and effort, but just broad view, like this meant something, and it, I get it, it's end of the first half of the season, there's a long ways to go, but it's national TV, all-stars on the floor, and Drew Holiday comes back. There was a little more juice for today's game, and I think there should be for games like this. It was exciting to watch, man. It's about as fun a game to watch throughout this regular season as we've had.
Yeah, and, you know, just based off what we saw on the floor, it definitely felt like a playoff game. So what do you mean by the – so just because there was 205 points that were scored, are you saying that it felt like, based off what we were watching, we saw a lot more than that?
Yeah, I thought the first, it wasn't jitters. It was just some good open looks that weren't going down, some stuff around the rim that would, you know, rattle out. This wasn't a track meet. Like, this felt like a game that you would see in the playoffs, right? Guys anchoring in, elite-level rim protection, kind of fighting tooth and nail, bodies on the ground. Like, it had some teeth to it, I thought. And, boy, these are the kind of games you love to win. I mean, a 20-point blowout's fantastic, but this is the kind of game I think that you end up seeing in the postseason. A little lower scoring, and I thought a fairly physical ball game as well.
Well, I think that's, you know, just it, that it was two playoff teams, and at least the last, you know, with these iterations of the team, it's been two very good defenses, and I know the Bucks are still working towards that, and I think I think they're only going to get better on the defensive end and where they are in terms of defensive rating in the second half of the season with Drew Holiday back, and I think, you know, you basically saw a snapshot of that tonight with some of the things that he allows you to do, where I think we had talked about it once before on this show, Greg, that I know you can't do this, but if you would have somehow made this deal and just put Drew Holiday on this Bucks team 2 years ago, the Bucks win the championship 2 years ago when the Toronto Raptors did. That if they had him in that series, they beat Toronto, and if they get the same breaks that Toronto did with the injuries to the Warriors, they definitely win there. So they probably win the championship, and one of the big reasons why is you saw what you were able to do tonight. This afternoon, in that defensive end there, with you can take Drew Holiday and just say, okay, you got Kawhi, where it's not just coming down to Chris and Malcolm Brogdon had to defend him for large stretches 2 years ago. It's not just that one guy that it comes down to, where it's Drew Holiday can take him and Drew Holiday feels comfortable taking him. And where it really stood out was the final, what, three or so minutes of the fourth quarter, where I think Drew checked back in right around there, 3 minutes to 2.5, somewhere in that range is when he came back into the game. But he's talked about this, and it was almost like foreshadowing when you think back to previous games, that he's talked about how he likes to play defense and he likes to just be left alone and leave me on the island. Don't worry about coming to help me, even when it looks like I'm beat. You know, don't worry, I've got my guy. And we saw the Bucks able to do that tonight, where so often this season where they've been burned defensively is overhelping. And then all of a sudden it just leads to open looks. They didn't have to do that because of Drew Holiday out there and what he was doing on Kawhi Leonard. And we just saw the number, too, that came through. The Clippers in the last 4 minutes of this game were 0-9 from the floor. No makes. And that is the most misses without a make in the last 4 minutes of regulation over the last 10 seasons for the Clippers. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard attempted all nine of those field goals. So if you want to put it on the resume tape here for the Bucks and say, this is what we need to do, this is how we need to play, because we saw a number of things. They switched, they played the drop defense, they threw different looks out there, and they succeeded at most of these, especially in those final 4 minutes of the game.
Phone lines are open for you at 855-616-1620. What does this win tell you about the Bucks? Did you learn anything? I feel like there were a couple of opponents on this homestand so far that, yes, you would expect the Bucks to win and win somewhat handily. You're not going to learn a lot about the Bucks when they knock off the Sacramento Kings. But yeah, maybe just you learn a little bit more about this team after a win like this over the Clippers. Here's what stood out to me, Justin. It was 90-83 with 8:34 left. 90-83, and look at the final score, 105-100. So there were some opportunities, I thought, early on in that fourth quarter for the Bucks to crawl back and take a lead. And, you know, credit, I guess, the Clippers' defense as well. Shots just didn't go down. But there was elite-level rim protection for the Bucks, especially in that fourth quarter. I mean, it really stood out. Block shots at the rim, Zubac going hard at Giannis, neat. Takes him down. Paul George as well. He had a block of Kawhi Leonard. They outscored the Clippers 22-10 from the 8:34 mark in the fourth quarter. And keep in mind, the Clippers had a 21-7 run to end the third, even take a lead going into the fourth. So you expect to see those blows go back and forth. But when they needed it, the Bucks really had it on both ends of the floor. Rim protection was pretty incredible. And keep in mind, the Clippers only attempted 7 free throws. So that elite-level defense being played and being played within the confines of the rules, I thought that stood out to me, especially in that fourth quarter.
Well, I mean, I think that last part is open to interpretation because we'd be remiss if we didn't point out who one of the officials in this game was. But neither team really attempted all that many free throws. That it was early from the onset. It was pretty clear they were going to let both teams play here. The Bucks got there 22 times, the majority of that coming very late in this game. And it was a game where Giannis, you know, wasn't the guy taking the majority of them. He had 6 free throw attempts, and for the longest time into the fourth quarter, he had only got there once. So they were letting him play, and I don't know if that's really an advantage Clippers or advantage Bucks, but I think if we want to continue to examine the free throws, the thing that has to stand out most is it's been a month now. And, you know, during this 5-game win streak, coming into play today, Giannis was shooting around 80% at the free throw line in the previous 4 wins. Tonight he goes 4 of 6, or today he goes 4 of 6. And in the month of February, he's close to 80% as well. So it's not like it's a 4-game sample size we're talking about. It has been much more consistent. And today, those were huge free throws. When you think about the last 3 that he hit on the and one, and then the 2 that put the Bucks in front, he hit them when it mattered most. And he's hitting them at a very consistent clip right now.
Everybody in here, stats.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
Yeah, neither team shot it terribly well from 3. I feel like the Clippers actually picked it up a little bit in the second half, but they still finished at a little under 32%. Milwaukee, very similar, 12 of 38 on the night. Los Angeles, 14 of 44. The difference at the free throw line, as you mentioned, 17 of 22 for the Bucks, 6 of 7 for the Clippers. My stat of the day, even though I just gave you like 6 of them right there. So Giannis was 0 for 3 to start the fourth quarter and finished 6 for 6 with 4 of 5 from the free throw line. Now, in that 0 for 3, there were a couple of blocks. I mean, it's not like he, you know, let one aspect of the game affect the other. They kept going through them, which was smart. A couple of those were lobs, strong finishes, a really critical 3 from the corner. But from 0 of 3 to 6 for 6 and 4 of 5 at the line, best play on your team comes up clutch when he needs to most, and that stood out to me among other things.
My number I would give is, I guess, 1 and 1 in 10, that the Bucks had yet to win this season when they trailed after three quarters. And for your first to come in a game like this against the Clippers, for a number of reasons, this is obviously their best win of the season, but to also get that monkey off your back is huge.
No doubt. And it's just, it's part of what this team talks about and what you and I have talked about. These are pelts on the wall. It's good, right? I mean, we've seen the Bucks just destroy teams throughout the regular season. Then come playoff time, it doesn't end the way you want it to. Games like this, boy, just fast forward to, you know, the end of May. I mean, it's the kind of game you'll see in the postseason. A couple other things stood out to me tonight. So Mike Budenholzer loves guards who can rebound. Typically, teams that find success, they have good rebounding guards. It's not an uncommon trait. The Bucks' second-leading rebounder tonight was Pat Connaughton with 8. And their third leading rebounder was Dante DiVincenzo with 7. He and Bobby Portis both had 7. We had, I think, 2 to our Pat Connaughton on the ground category. At least 2. But whether it was a tap out or fighting just to find room in space on a long rebound, it felt like DiVincenzo and Connaughton were kind of how they usually are, around the ball at a critical time. It was less about points and it was more about winning plays that, you know, maybe don't show up in the box score. In this case, however, I think the rebounding does. 15 rebounds combined with 2 guards, 1 being off the bench. That's a solid number.
Yeah, and I think if we wanted to do more numbers, our stats of the game, the other thing that we have to mention is in the clutch situations, the Bucks have been very poor so far this season. Now, granted, some of that is coming in games that you played without Drew Holiday. So in these games that are 5 points or less with 5 minutes or less, that's what the NBA deems as clutch. The Bucks have been one of the worst teams in the league in that area this season. Last year, they were the best in terms of winning percentage and among the best in offensive rating in those moments. And this year, it's been the exact opposite. They were 3-8 coming into play today. Their offensive rating was 4th worst in the league, and they actually had a negative net rating in those minutes. So teams are scoring against them, and the Bucks' offense just was not good. Today, their offensive rating was 140 that they executed down the stretch. And if you can continue to do this and get those open looks, and what stood out the most was we saw a lot of ball movement, and Bud talked about it quite a bit when he addressed the media after the game. You think about that play that sealed the game where Giannis got the wide open dunk. And by the way, I'm still trying to figure out how he didn't travel there, where he fake dribbled, got off his 2 steps and dunked. That it was, if you go back and rewatch it, you'll be amazed to see he did not put the ball on the floor in that dunk. But that was created by all the ball movement. And Drew Holiday made the right read and right cut, and they were just constantly moving and doing the right things. And I think the problem this team ran into, part of it again, was being without Drew Holiday. But the offense would stall. And Coach had talked about this before, I think after the Suns game, where they were starting to fall into that trap where you would just kind of, almost for lack of a better phrase here, just sit around and wait for Giannis and or Chris to bail you out. And we've seen them now move away from that. And I do think having Drew Holiday back in the mix helps you out there, where he frees up Chris Middleton off the ball and he's able to get you organized and get things going. And by the way, Greg, our guy DJ Augustine played pretty good. He made some big plays for the team today.
No doubt. 6 points, but clean on the floor. 2 of 4 from 3. A big one in the fourth quarter. 26 minutes in a starting role.
That was one of the biggest plays of the game.
You bet. Absolutely. No, nice, really nice stretch of games here for DJ Augustine in a starting role. I want to talk more about the impact of Drew Holiday on this team overall and what we saw tonight. And we'll also take your calls. Did you learn anything? Did you learn anything about the Milwaukee Bucks? Does it tell you anything that they can beat the Clippers by 5, come from behind fashion after losing a lead on national TV? 855-616-1620. Don't forget, our poll question is up at 620 WTMJ if you follow us along on Twitter. In recognition of Lemon Pepper Lou Williams being in Milwaukee, what is your favorite buffalo wing sauce? We will talk about that and more coming up. It's Bucks Talk. Hang with us.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Rock is still resting as well. Inbounding, Middleton on the side. Lob to Giannis, caught it, slam it! Middleton from out of bounds to the rim. Giannis will make it 90-87. Design play out of a timeout.
105-100 the final. The Bucks improved to 21-13 on the season with a victory over the Clippers at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee outscoring Los Angeles 28-19 in the fourth quarter to secure the win. This is Bucks Talk. I'm Greg Matzik along with Justin Garcia. Poll question of the night is up in recognition of the Bucks hosting the Clippers and Lemon Pepper Lou Williams. What's your favorite wing sauce? Buffalo, lemon pepper, parm garlic. You all about that dry rub, Justin? 182 votes are in. Buffalo is running away. I'm very surprised to see lemon pepper at under 5%. This seems to be a travesty.
I don't think I've ever had lemon pepper. Well, actually, no, that's not true. I have. I don't know. I am kind of more of a dry rub guy. That I'm not opposed to the wet rub, but sometimes a wing can just be too saucy that. The dry rub, I almost prefer.
Yeah, you don't need like 20 wet naps if you're going dry rub.
No.
Right? I feel like you can get out of there pretty clean.
I feel like, yeah, and I hope we're on the same page here, Greg, but boneless wings are not wings. They're just mini chicken tenders for kids. So
no.
I'm usually opposed to getting boneless wings.
I have enjoyed boneless wings in the past, but I tend to agree with you. I'm not a knife and fork wing guy, and I feel like you can or should be if you're going to go the boneless route. So, yes, I'm going to agree with you on that. To me, it feels more like there's kind of a McRib element to the boneless wing, where I'm not sure exactly how this little ball of meat was created, much like the McRib. Like, what kind of mold was this put into, and why there are rib marks on it, I still don't understand. So I kind of avoid the boneless wing and the McRib.
It is a bold move, too, to be on date night or just be out and about with people and other than maybe like your handful of best friends and say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and order wings. That's just really shooting your shot if you realize, you know what, it's going to get messy. And even if you go with the spicy or really hot type of wings, that's a bold move.
I think we both know one person who would dive into that pool, and his name rhymes with Jeff Falconio. So 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us recapping a victory for the Bucks. And we will spend some time here on Giannis. In all honesty, I don't think we talk enough about Giannis on this program, and I certainly don't want to take his brilliance for granted, but he closed out the game in style tonight with 6 of 6 from the field, 4 of 5 from the line. So more on Giannis coming up. But also today, the return of Jrue Holiday, and as we expected, Justin, coming off the bench, trying to get his legs under him. That was kind of interesting to watch. And he missed some shots that he would likely knock down. And well, he sure wasn't shy. The first time he touched the ball, it went up and trying to get his feet wet. But he continues to make winning plays. And you'd alluded to it in our last segment. He made the right read on that dunk by Giannis. So what do you mean by that? Well, it's in Drew's hand, which automatically gives you that comfort factor. Giannis is posting up at the elbow. Ball goes into Giannis. And then Jrue, with Patrick Beverley guarding him, runs a rub. I don't know if it was a dry rub, but it was a rub off Giannis. And Beverley gets picked off. So now Beverley's on the ground, and Giannis can go into attack mode. And the Bucks have some freedom. So Giannis makes a move toward the hoop, kicks it to the corner. Ball movement. It ends up back in Chris Middleton's hand. Beverley, to his credit, recovers. But then gambles as Middleton takes one dribble, allowing Giannis, I-94 to get to the hoop. Whether he took an extra step or not is to be debated. He didn't dribble, I know that. But making the right read, that's exactly what you talked about. It's what Mike Budenholzer talked about. The rub, it put Beverley on the ground, and it put the Bucks in an advantageous situation.
I think, too, the big thing with Jrue, and it's stuff like that we kind of talked about the last few games, that you can now see why he's one of those guys that his name comes up the most whenever players are asked who's the most underrated player in the league. And, as we've talked about, Bucks fans probably didn't see a whole lot of Jrue Holiday the last few years. I know I didn't see much of him other than the games that the Bucks would play against the Pelicans. So in those games, you would see him and think, okay, so he's a good player. I don't know about as great as everybody talks him up. And then you see him up close this year. And then you start to realize, okay, here's some of the things he does, and here's how he helps the offense, and here's how he keeps them organized. The defense is certainly something that we talk about quite a bit, but it's the little things like that where he's the guy that just keeps them on track. And, even stuff like coming into today's game, prior to him missing the last 10 games of the season, I mean, what the Bucks had done with him on the floor in those minutes, with their point differential, he was in the 95th percentile in the league. So he was better than 95% of players in the league with how well his offense performs when he's on the floor. And in those minutes, the Bucks played on a 65-win pace over 82 games. So you can see some of the things he does, whereas Coach puts it oftentimes just making winning plays even without scoring the basketball. And we've all gone over the offensive rating and defensive rating and how much that changed and went down without Drew in the mix. But I'm going to keep going back to really it's three things, and we really saw two of them jump up in this game. Drew Holiday gives you the points in the paint, and the Bucks were back towards what they averaged in the games that Drew played in at 48 in today's game. Even though Drew only scored 2 points, he just opens things up for you and gets you those other looks, and I think that feeds off of corner threes. That was another area where the Bucks really became a much better team this season at taking and making corner threes with Drew on the floor. That evaporated in the last 10 games with him out, probably because he's no longer in the paint and the defense is collapsing on him and Giannis and their transition offense, which they have been very good, if not great, at that under Coach Budenholzer in each of the last 2-plus seasons. But this year, they've been the most efficient team in the league in their transition offense, and they always lead the league in volume. But again, today, 22 fast break points for the Bucks, and the Clippers just had 2, where so often a lot of that comes from steals that Drew Holiday is creating, where he's third in the league at that, that we saw points in the paint and we saw transition offense off the charts for the team again today. And it's not coincidental that Drew Holiday was back on the floor for this team.
Yeah, the stat line is modest. And, you know, Drew Holiday is not going to have many 1-for-5 shooting performances. I get it, man. There probably should be a little bit of rust. But I thought it was telling that he finished the game. He finished the game for Mike Budenholzer. So, you know, 18 minutes, I can't speak for how his legs felt. I'm sure it was a little bit clunky feeling after missing as many games as he did coming off of COVID. But able to finish the game, which I thought was nice. Nice to see.
He actually talked about that exactly as I was talking with Zora Stevenson before the game. And he had told her, just going through the practices that we had the last few games, my legs were dead, that it's still going to take some time to get up to speed. And we heard Pat Connaughton kind of say the same things when he went through this in the bubble, and Eric Bledsoe as well, that it took about a week for both of those guys to get back into the full game shape and up to speed here. So I would imagine we're going to continue to see this, you know, restricted minutes here for Drew, at least through the first half of the season here in the final 2 games. And I think it's just most important that you have him back and get him back into those reps now before this extended break. And the Bucks are going to need him in the second half of the schedule, because we briefly touched about it, but I think it's actually a good thing when you look at the schedule. It's difficult in the second half, and the Bucks, in terms of strength of schedule, haven't really had a tough first half schedule. But I think that could be a good thing for this team, because you have 3 games with the Sixers, you have 2 more games with the Nets, and both those Nets games are at home. 2 of the Sixers games are at home. So right there, 5 of your 6 games against the other 2 teams in the same tier of you as you in the Eastern Conference are coming in the second half, where you get the advantage of home games. But also, this team is going to continue to get better as the season goes on. So I think it's better to have more games against these teams later in the season than to have those early when you're still figuring things out.
No doubt. The Bucks finish up the regular first half of the regular season at home against Denver on Tuesday night. They'll visit the Memphis Grizzlies on Thursday, March 4th. Then it's a quiet period until March 11th. So a week off for the All-Star break, with the exception of Giannis, who will be playing, presumably, March 7th in Atlanta. A few back-to-backs, as you mentioned here, with Brooklyn and with Washington and with Boston. You've got a nice 5-game homestand, but then you have a stretch in which 9 of 10 will be played on the road. So it's a relentless schedule here in the second half of the season, as the Bucks look to keep their foot on the gas here. The streaking Bucks, that is. Winners of 5 straight after dropping 5 straight. Of course, that came on the heels of a 5-game winning streak. So the net of it all, the Bucks are 10-5 in their last 15 games. 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us here on the program. 855-616-1620. Did you learn anything? Does a win like this tell you anything about the Milwaukee Bucks that you didn't already know? Or is it just another pelt on the wall here for the Bucks on national TV? Coming up on the other side, we need to spend some time talking about Giannis. Just an incredible performance today. I never want his performances, especially ones like this, to ever go overlooked, and I'm guilty. I don't think we talk enough about Giannis on this program. He's just so darn automatic. We cannot take it for granted. We'll talk about it more coming up on the other side. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's Bucks Talk. Got about another half hour to go here on ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. The Round Ball Repartee returns.
Ooh, I love repartee.
Yeah.
Usually means there's a battle scene coming.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
If Giannis hits this one, it's a two-point game. Got it. 93-91 LA.
With that free throw, Giannis, fourth all-time, Bucks scoring.
Yep, he moves past Michael Redd into fourth place. Up next, Sidney Moncrief, number three.
Another impressive output for Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's become the norm here, and I certainly don't want to gloss over it. I mean, my goodness, 36 points, 14 rebounds. He had, five assists. He also had four blocks on the afternoon. Elite-level rim protection from Giannis. Pretty amazing stuff. 2 of 7 from three, but the one that he did hit from the corner late in the fourth was critical as the Bucks were able to erase a deficit here and beat the Clippers 105-100. This is Bucks Talk at ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ. Greg Matzik and Justin Garcia with you until 6:30. 855-616-1620. Let's grab a call here. It's Leroy in Milwaukee. You're on Bucks Talk. Hi, Leroy.
Hello. How you doing, man?
Good. What's going on?
Man, I just got through watching this Bucks live on on ABC, man. And the Giannis, the Greek Freak, did his thing, man. I'm so happy of him. And with the insertion of Jrue Holiday, I love that, man.
Did you learn anything about the Bucks today, Leroy? Did they teach you anything?
Man, they taught me a lot, man. They taught me really a lot, man, because Middleton, he sort of was like streaky at the second half, man, but he started to pick it up and in. But Giannis, with that impressive move that he did in the fourth quarter, I love that, man.
15 of 27 from the field was Giannis. Appreciate the phone call, Leroy. Chris Middleton, 6 of 14. A key in that final setup for Giannis to drive down the lane and hammer home a dunk that gave the Bucks a 3-point lead. Just drawing attention, right? He's been good off the dribble, pulling up from mid-range or drawing contact. Pat Beverly gambles a little bit, moves toward Middleton. That paves the way for Giannis to hammer home that dunk. Pretty clean performance from Giannis. Do we not talk enough about Giannis, Justin? Like, I'm just trying to think back, like, oh, another great night from Giannis. You know, another 30-plus point night from Giannis. He's on repeat once again. You look at the stat line from pretty much every game. Yeah, you might get a little Middleton leading the team in one category here or Jrue Holiday there, but I never want to lose sight of how incredible it is to watch him play and how much joy that I think not only myself and yourself, but fans just around the league get from watching him play. Now, it's not just to say it because they had a nice win today, but the historical numbers will tell his final story, and hopefully there's some championships to go with it, but it's hard to not just soak in the day-to-day. I wish more than 1,800 could be at the arena to watch it, and I'm sure we'll get to that point at some point, but dude's just special, man. It's just a joy to watch him play basketball.
Yeah, and we talk about him quite a bit on Courtside Live, which you can find 2 hours before every home game here. But every home game, yeah, including today. It was a bright and early call time this morning. I feel like I don't, and I think part of that is there are more players than just Giannis on this team, so let's give more attention to what Chris does and some of the things that Drew does that we've talked about, and even guys like Dante's big performance, what Bobby Portis has given this team. But then you see games like today, and really the last five games especially, but these last four games where he's been 35-plus over that streak, though, the longest of his career and only the second player in team history to score 35 or more in in four straight games, that it just brings it back to, okay, well, it ultimately is all about Giannis, and this team will go as far as he takes them. And, you know, in terms of what did we learn from today, I don't know what the main takeaways I had were that changed it all, because, you know, one of the things I was trying to say throughout this first half of the season is be patient, and this team is going to continue to get better. But the things that we pointed to, like Drew Holiday's numbers when he's on the floor, and even if you look at the offensive and net ratings for the starting five, it's one of the best units in all of basketball. So when you look at that and you say, okay, when Drew Holiday and when the starters are on the floor, they're one of the best teams in the league, and that's one of the best five-man groupings in the league. That's what I'm most encouraged by, because we know they're going to play those guys quite a bit once we get to the postseason. And today kind of reaffirmed that for you, where you saw Drew close it out. We saw more of the versatility, where we talked about some of the things they were doing differently on the defensive end. And we saw Pat Connaughton close out this game and no Brooke Lopez because of the Clippers' perimeter offense. But with Giannis, I mean, I think the takeaways were more so from Giannis than they were revolving around the team, in that we saw more of that maturity and growth that he's talked about quite a bit this season. Where, think about how he attacked in the first half with those five assists, that a lot of it was Giannis probing and getting into the paint and kicking out to an open man. We said three of his five assists were on corner threes, or two were on corner threes and three were threes. But he was finding the open man, and he's talked a lot about this in the last week, of trusting his teammates and knowing, all I got to do is create shots for him, and if they're open and we work to create that open shot, that's all we can ask for. And he's doing more and more of that. And there was a couple of plays in this game where there is probably some added motivation whenever you go against Kawhi Leonard and Serge Ibaka because of the conference finals 2 years ago. But there was one play in particular where, you know, we saw both of these guys try to build that wall again of sorts here against Giannis. And just how he was more versatile and not necessarily trying to power his way through them, but moving around them at times. But there was one play in the third quarter where Giannis caught the ball at the top of the key, and so many times we would see Giannis catch the ball, almost reassess and get a look at what's in front of him defensively, and then he goes into attack from there. And you could tell Serge Ibaka, from years and years and that series in the conference finals of going against Giannis, knows, okay, this is what he does. He'll hesitate, he'll read the defense, and then he attacks. And kind of laid up a little bit, and Giannis caught the ball and immediately attacked and got a layup, where you can see it's stuff like that that is starting to register with Giannis in reading the defense and knowing, okay, this is what they know I'm going to do, so I have to do something differently. And we're seeing him do those different things, getting to the basket differently and making the right reads this season. And, you know, between that and just how clutch he's been at the free throw line, that's what should have you most encouraged about this team in the postseason. Obviously, Drew Holiday, but those minor changes that Giannis has made too.
So I don't know if there's a way to quantify it. I guess the assist totals do, in some respects, tell the story. Five assists in the first half, he had none in the second half. There have been a handful of times this year where his assist totals were slightly inflated at halftime and then sort of tapered off. I like that. I like everything about it, especially in a game like today. It's the idea of early involvement of your teammates, finding guys, open shooters, making a defense think a little bit about just how much a wall they want to build, if they want to leave Bryn Forbes or Middleton or somebody else open. And then when it's money time, I got this. Put it on my shoulders. Let me go get it. Giannis took 9 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter, and he closed 6 for 6. I like everything about it. I'd have to go back and watch the games where it sort of played out in similar fashion, but there's a component of getting guys involved early and then putting the weight on his shoulders when it's crunch time. And the Bucks have a couple of guys that can, you know, put the weight on their shoulders, but there's an element of that today that we saw from Giannis.
Yeah, and it's just those little things are what stood out to me, is that there was no panic in this team. That's the other thing is, if we think back to, and I wonder how much of it just had to do with having Drew back on the floor, but you think back to those previous examples of these close games that they've been in, and now they're 4-8 in those clutch situations this season. So they were 3-8 before today, and a lot of the times we would see the offense stall, and you would see shots missed, and, you know, we talked about before, it seemed like at times guys were just kind of looking around at Giannis and Chris and waiting for them to, okay, one of you guys needs to hit a shot because we're not going to take it. And the team just looked off, and I mean, I don't know if panicked is the right word, but they didn't handle the situations well. And in this game, I mean, the resolve was definitely there, especially in the last 3 minutes of this game and some of the stops they made defensively. Now, you could make a case what the Clippers did offensively is what we were talking about the Bucks doing in a lot of those situations in those previous 11 games, where I'm still not sure why you wouldn't have just said, you know what, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose the game with Kawhi Leonard taking all of our shots. But still, the Bucks' defense was very composed, and offensively, they never looked panicked and like the situation was too big for them. It was more of a steady influence from guys like Drew Holiday, and Giannis was very calm. But I'm just going to go back to the free throws. That now, if he gets to that spot where he can consistently be around 75%, that changes things so much. Because if we go all the way back to the season opener, where Giannis is on the free throw line with a chance in that game against the Boston Celtics, as we said, did you think he was going to make the free throws? And the answer that everybody gave was no. And, you know, that's what we saw. Well, now we're getting to the point where this, again, is the stretch of a month that he's shooting close to 80% at the free throw line. We're getting to the point where you put him on the free throw line and you feel like, I think he's going to hit these. At the very least, he's going to go 1 of 2.
I'm feeling that way as well. And three-point numbers are what they are. He came in shooting a little below 30%. To get that to 33%, 34%, he'd probably have to shoot 37 or 38% by the end of the season or the rest of the way. I don't see that happening. I think his three-point shot is, it's going to be what it is. It's going to be around 30% plus or minus, but that doesn't mean he can't hit a big one at a key time, and he certainly did that tonight. One of those corner threes you were talking about. I think Dante had another one as well. But all in all, just a fantastic floor game and incredible rim protection. Four blocks for Giannis tonight. Brooke Lopez had the other, as you might expect. But they controlled the paint against a team that can score in the paint. Now, you mentioned about the Clippers' offense down the stretch. There was a lot of Paul George and a lot of Kawhi. And I get it, right? Ride your stars. But I think about how the Clippers won on that 21-7 run, and it was Marcus Morris from the corner, and it was Pat Beverly knocking down a shot. I mean, it was other guys being involved that afforded the Clippers an opportunity to take that lead going into the fourth. And it felt a little like hero ball. I mean, it's one thing to take the brunt of the weight on your shoulders, but the ball didn't seem to move quite as much down the stretch for the Clippers. And they were stuck. They had 10 points in the final 8.5 minutes.
Yeah, and that was really the problem we saw with them in that series against the Nuggets in the playoffs, and why they flamed out in the second round like the Bucks did. And I think the other big part is, you know, you mentioned Morris hitting a lot of those big shots for him in the corner threes. And those, I got to go back and rewatch it, but those, at least a handful of them, seemed to come again in moments where Drew Holiday was off the floor. And that just speaks to, you can throw Drew Holiday out there and say, whether it's Kawhi Leonard, whether it's Paul George, whoever it is, we're putting you on him. We don't have to worry about overhelping, because that's where they ran into problems again in those situations. And that's really what's been the issue for the Bucks most of this season, is overhelping. But today, it felt like it was everything that Drew had talked about. It kind of registered of, leave me alone on this guy. Even if it looks like I'm beat, trust me, I'm at least, you know, working on it, and I think we've got him. And the Bucks did that down the stretch, and it paid off, because you didn't have to overhelp, and it didn't lead to all these open looks in the corner. And for those secondary guys like Marcus Morris or like Patrick Beverly, the Giannis point, too, on the three-pointers. So he took 7 threes today. It's the third time this season he's taken 7 or more, and I think it's the 8th he's taken 6 or more. I mean, I'm fine with him taking the open looks when they're there. I still feel like 6 and above, I mean, even 5 and above is probably a little high. What I would like to see them do more of is, you get the feeling we're only going to see more and more of it, because he is becoming even better at attacking the rim and finding open men now, that you get the feeling we're going to see even more of teams just sagging off and saying, okay, take the three and we're going to leave you open. I would like to see them run some more sets where you bring somebody out there towards him and he can run the handoff, where even if they stay sagging off, he can set a screen then for a shooter and they get an open look from there, because I think this is only going to increase. So that's the one thing I would say if you're Coach Budenholzer, you got to work on, okay, when the opposing defenses do this, we know what's going to happen even more now. How do we combat that? Because, sure, he's occasionally knocking them down, but, you know, 29 to 30% shooter, that doesn't really warrant taking six or seven threes in a game, even when you're wide open.
If he's one of four or two for five in every game from here on out, I can live with that. Obviously, I like the two of five better than the one of four. But to your point on attempts, I'd have to look back. You mentioned it's the eighth time or so he's been at six or above or seven and above. I'd be curious to know what the Bucks' record is in those games. You might have a better handle on that than me. We'll update that perhaps on the other side. Also, more phone calls to get to at 855-616-1620. What's up next for the Bucks? And what has this little stretch done to their position in the Eastern Conference? We'll wrap up Bucks Talk after this on ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Well, that's called being good at closing time. And now Chris for a four-point lead. Put it up. It's good. 104 to 100. We have 2.1 seconds left. This for a five-point lead for the Bucks. In the air, it's good. Clippers don't take the timeout. This one's in the bank and earning interest. Wow, what a game.
Updating our poll question of the night in recognition of the Bucks hosting the Clippers and Lemon Pepper Lou Williams. What's your favorite wing sauce? Buffalo, 45.3%. Lemon pepper, only a little over 5%. I'm a little surprised here. Parm garlic, what you know about that parm? 30%, and a dry rub at a little over 19%. 223 votes are in.
No spicy garlic, no mango.
Well, we had an
Asian
other,
zing.
Like if you had other, you could write it in, and no other votes are really coming in on the other. I like the parm garlic. I just don't know where to go with the sauce because I like to dip.
Yeah.
And if I got the parm garlic and I go to the ranch or the blue cheese, I'm going to have a rum in my milkshake incident that I don't want to really have to talk about again. Because that was a wild ride. I'll tell you that much.
What's your stance on the Nashville hot?
I can't get to the point where I'm uncomfortable. I like enough zip where I know I have to kind of keep eating, but I don't want the spice to overwhelm what I'm trying to enjoy. And you get too far down that path, and it just becomes all about survival. And I just want to enjoy my time if I'm eating the wings.
Well, I mean, not to divulge it too much, but there is a restaurant here in the Milwaukee area that does a chicken challenge that I partook in earlier this year at Crafty Cow, where it's called the Heat and Repeat. So it's three different breaded chicken breasts on two pieces of bread with coleslaw and mac and cheese and a beer. And if you can finish it, it's free. If you don't, you have to pay $40. And I figured, okay, I can do this. It is mind-blowing how hot it was. It's a Nashville hot, and then they call it a Milwaukee lava and a 414 fire. I made the mistake of starting with the hottest chicken breast first, thinking, you know what, I'll get the worst one out of the way, and then it should get easier. That was the dumbest thing I've ever done, because that's all you could taste, where it's just eat two-thirds of it and then go to the hot to just wrap it up. And plus, then, by the time you get to the end, the bread has just sopped up all of the sauce that runs off. That it's impossible to finish.
I don't think the beer helps you there, really, does
no,
it?
I
mean,
I
get
think
it.
I drank it at all, yeah.
Jeez. I mean, a glass of milk might be your best friend at that point. That is a wild ride. I may have to try that. Let's welcome in James from Milwaukee. James, here on Bucks Talk. What's your favorite wing sauce?
Wing sauce is barbecue or chipotle.
Okay. All right. A little kick there. All right, James, what you got?
Well, I'm kind of curious. Here's the thing when I was just sitting out here thinking. Now, if you got Giannis bringing the ball up all the time, aren't you wearing him out? Whereas you could have somebody else that could bring in that ball up, that could be the mainstay on that team there, and how much of a percentage do, if you have it in other people's hands that it's on that team, what's the percentage of them, when they're bringing the ball up, are we winning with them bringing the ball up?
Thanks for the phone call, James. Trying to figure out a good way to answer the question. You want to give it a shot?
100%. They won today, so I'll just go with 100. I think it's important, too, for Giannis to have the ball in his hands because we saw, as we touched on, some of those differences with how he attacked Serge Ibaka in terms of, you know, reading the opponents and seeing, okay, they understand this is what I do, so I got to do things differently. And also, the way that we saw Ibaka and Kawhi Leonard double-team him, where that was a big problem for the Bucks in the conference finals. And it wasn't tonight that we talked about the assists, the five of them in the first half, or today, five in the first half, and two of them led to corner threes, that he's getting more and more comfortable passing out of double teams. Because before it was, he would get doubled and he would either back off a little bit or he would still just try to go through that wall and get to the basket by any means necessary. And now he's getting more and more comfortable of reading the defense and passing out of double teams. And if he's going to do that, it's going to be more and more difficult to double-team him, especially when guys like Bryn Forbes are shooting close to 50% on the outside and Chris is knocking down open looks.
Yeah, you have to look at this team, too. Do they have – how much depth do they have at that point guard position, especially with Holiday out? Augustine stepping into a nice role, but you know the ball is going to be in Giannis and Chris's hands a little bit more with Holiday out. I like a varied approach, really, with anybody. I think the more multiple you can be, the more difficult you are to defend. And if Giannis is attacking from the wing at times, well, then maybe that wall has to shift a little bit. Maybe the spacing is a little bit off, and it's a little more difficult to get it together versus hard charging from the top of the key where the wall is a little easier to set up and just seeing if he'll try and go through or if he'll give it up. So I just like multiple looks, and I think Mike Budenholzer is pretty good about getting that. But they run different things, right? They've been running a little more of the pick-and-roll action with DJ. They were doing that with Brooke and Chris a little bit during the stretch of time. Holiday was out. They just attack differently based upon who has the ball in their hands.
Well, the chemistry with Giannis and Chris, too, is it's reached the point where it's at an all-time high. Where think about in the last, during this win streak, how many times have we seen that lob between the two of them? And today you saw it on the sidelines out of bounds play, too, that led to the Giannis dunk, where they're just in lockstep now. And, that double-team thing that I was mentioning, too, it's huge because if he can consistently pass out of the double-team, it kills the defense because the advantage that you have is gone. If somebody comes over in the double and tries to trap you and you're backing out of it or you're immediately just trying to go right at them, that the advantage you have with there's an open man somewhere else on the floor, well, if you're going to relent, that advantage is gone. So if you're passing and finding the open guy, that's advantage Bucks. So if he can continue to make those reads, that really kills the defense and that's going to slow down some of those double teams.
105-100, the final tonight from Fiserv Forum. The Bucks improved to 21-13. Next up, a Tuesday night matchup with the Denver Nuggets, followed by a quick road trip to Memphis prior to the All-Star break. Giannis with 36, 14, and 5 assists in tonight's win. Our player of the game, Chris Middleton, adds 19 double figures for Rick Lopez and Dante DiVincenzo. Appreciate you joining us tonight on Bucks Talk. Justin and I will be back following Tuesday night's game against the Nuggets as the Bucks look to make it 6 wins in a row. Enjoy the rest of your night.